Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to home. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Yes, you and you. Let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus on today. I am so glad that you turned in and tuned in with me on today. And I tell you, I have just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that the Lord dropped down in my spirit and heart to share with you on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously blessed on today. So once you grab your Bible, come on in and just make yourself right here at home. Here at Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment, where we are exploring the word of the Lord, our God, and contextualizing it for the relevancy for today's living. And I know that this word will be a relevant word for you on today, and you will be tremendously, yes, tremendously blessed. And so I'm going to be talking about the faithfulness of God. I tell you, child of God, I'm just so excited and just so full in my spirit about all of the wonderful blessings and the wonderful things that our Lord is doing. Even in the midst of a chaotic world, God is still yet blessing his people. I tell you, won't you go with me real quickly? We're going to go and look at a scripture. Our scripture text, our foundation on today that we're going to be looking at is going to be found over in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Chapter number 7, verses number 6 through verse number 10. And I'm going to read that in your hearing, and then we're just going to let the Lord just have his way on today. Oh, my God, I just feel a tremendous blessing. Let's take a look at the word over in Deuteronomy, chapter number 7, verse 6 through 10. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your father, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen and from the hands of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant, oh my God, and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. He repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. My Lord. Our focus verse is going to be verse number 9 out of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generation, to a thousand generation. Now, we recognize the wonderful blessings of the Lord. I tell you, I can just go from right here. I just feel the Spirit of the Lord in my heart and spirit about the faithfulness and the surety of God's word to his people is yea and amen. I tell you, we have been seeing God do some miraculous things, some wonderful things in and among his people. And I come to tell you on today just from my heart, and then we'll get to the lesson. But from my heart today, I want to speak a word in your spirit today of the faithfulness of our God and the immutability of our God and how he even ordained this thing with an oath. We're going to talk about all these wonderful things, God's immutability. We're going to talk about man inconsistency. And we're just going to talk about some of the good things of the Lord our God. But I want to encourage somebody's heart that's on the line even right now. And I want you to know, as the scripture has said, that the just will live by their faith. And so I want to encourage you, as never before, is to use your faith. You have to literally take the word that God has already ordained and spoken, his spoken word, written word, and begin to set his word in the atmosphere and watch God begin to perform his word. The scripture said that he watches over his word to perform it. And it's critical for us as the children of God, as never before, is to begin to set the word of God in the atmosphere. Amen. Whatever your situation is, whatever your circumstances may be, get a word from what the Bible has said and begin to just set it in the atmosphere. Even if you have to just walk throughout the day and just begin to say, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Amen. And begin to just repeat that in the atmosphere and just watch God begin to perform it on your behalf and meet every one of your needs. Amen. Because we're living in a time that is very complex. A lot of chaos that's going on, a lot of perplexity is going on, but the same self God, oh God, the same self God that spoke the universe into existence and set the stars in the sky, oh my God, he is the same one that's still yet in control. Oh, Katara Damashende, I believe that he's able to do the exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, even according to the power that worketh within us. And so we as the children of God, as never before, we're going to have to release the power of God that is within us as never before for he to be able to start performing and fulfilling the expectation, because we are pulling on the anointing. We're pulling on the attributes of God. We're pulling on the capability of our God and the immutability of our God, knowing that he is still yet able, amen, to do it for the people of God, because he have a people that believe in him. I hear the scripture saying that the people that know their God will be strong and do exploit. Yes, children of God, we are seeing miracles. We are seeing wonders. We are seeing doors opening. We are seeing God moving by his power divine. We are believing God, walking in his word, adhering to the things of God. This is your best season. I just want to speak that in your heart. This is your best season to see the faithfulness of God as never before. He promised that he will provide. He promised that he was going to do it on your behalf. So trust him and stand upon the word. Now I want to speak to a group of people right now. Amen. And the people that I want to speak to is some of the single women, the single parents and things, whether male or female. I want to speak unto your heart. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to his word. Be faithful in the house of God. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care if it doesn't look like it's going to come to pass, or that God is going to come through, or God's going to fight the battle for you. I come to tell you that God have a word for you on today. You might be even married, but walking this journey right now by yourself in this complex and perplexed place and time in your life, even right now. The God in which we serve, Jehovah Jireh, he will provide. He will bring it full circle, and you will see the rewards, amen, of your labor if you stay faithful unto God as never before. God is ready and willing to do it. Just hold fast and hold on and hold out and watch God do it on your behalf. I believe that. I've seen him work. I've seen him open doors. You've seen it too as well. But I tell you, child of God, in this season is going to be a time that you're going to see God move move in a way that you never seen God move. You're going to see doors open that you never seen or expected to open unto you. God is just going to do some suddenly things and just going to suddenly just things just going to start springing forth out of nowhere. It's just going to start springing forth and blessing the people of God because of his faithfulness. Now, let's take a look really quickly at the lesson. I'm going to try to get into it a little bit, and if we don't complete it today, we're going to pick it up on next week and finish it out, talking about the consistently faithfulness of our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, everything we know and believe about God and his book is based on his faithfulness. Often emphasize being faithful to one another and to God. But today we're going to be looking at and examining God's faithfulness to us. Now, if it was not God's faithfulness, any effort of faithfulness on our part would be just in vain. Trusting him would be futile. But thank the Lord our God that he is faithful in every respect. Now, as we continue to investigate a couple of the aspects of God's faithfulness, number one, we're going to examine his immutability in his nature, faithfulness in his character, and a constant in and consistent in his dealing as well. One of the greatest disappointments in the arena of human suffering is when a friend proves to be unfaithful. The breaking of a friend's promise, it dissolves the friendship and crushes us because we have expected them to be faithful. Now, the world and everything in it is transitional, but God does not change, making his faithfulness permanent and unchanging as well. Now, we can trust in our own divine friendship and the faithfulness because it never, never wavers. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. And you'll find that over in Malachi 3 and 6. Now, Jesus Christ, we know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Hebrews 13 and 8 will let us know that. Now, first, we will highlight the slightest nuance between the term nature and character of God. And we'll look at a closer look at these terms can give us an insight from the two different perspectives. We will also study God's consistency in dealing with us and desist, hold the although God exists and creates the universe, he also oversees it from a distance and does not interfere with its functioning. Somewhat he is like the absentee landlord, but he's still yet there. Now, as we begin to look here first, at God's immutability in his nature. Now, a person's nature is the core of his being. He cannot separate himself from it. It is like separating the platelets from the whole blood or cream from the whole milk. His nature is inherent, inborn. Thus, proving a person mature and nature reveal the reality of the person, his essential characteristics as well as values. Now, some people choose to disguise their nature. They project or contrive personas designed to impress their peers. They act out a personality that reflects only what they want others to see, like furniture made out of particle board and covered with a shiny oak veneer. Although we cannot see beneath the veneer, God can absorb the true essence of a person's nature. The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You'll first see that over in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. And weigheth the spirit, and you'll find that over in Proverbs 16 and verse number 2. Now, in contrast, the nature of God is genuine, though, through and through, like furniture made of solid oak. The psalmist said, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand, and they shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed, But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. And you'll find that over in Psalms 102, verse 25 through verse 27. Now, God is immutable. Four interesting biblical examples provide insights of the immutability nature of God, although at the first they may appear to indicate God has changed. Now let's take a look at these four. Number one, God repented that he had made man and it grieved his heart. Genesis 6, verses 5 through 6. Now this statement does not assume any variableness in the nature or purpose of God, for God never repented. And any misunderstanding of this passage would emerge from what repentance means to us as human. Our repentance and regret arise from our changeability-ness, our desires and action and fluto according to the temptation and the mood and impulse or circumstances which necessitate repentance on our part. This is never the case with God. The repentance of God simply referred to what theologians can call a feeling of God expressed in a way that we can understand. The wickedness and evil imagination of his beloved human beings and creation pierced his heart, overwhelming grief and disappointment. Let's look at number two. God repented of his intention to destroy the people of Israel. And you'll find that over in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 14. After Moses' desperate intercession for Israel, God repented of his intention to destroy the people for worshiping the golden calf. Still, as the unchangeable, true, and faithful God, Jehovah would not and could not revoke the promises he had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, even if he had destroyed the people, he would have fulfilled the promise through Moses by making of him a great nation. Now, number three, God repented also that he had made Saul king over Israel. Saul rebelled against God's instruction when he speared the Amalek and King Agar and the best of the sheep and cattle to offer a significant sacrifice to the Lord. The prophet Samuel rebuked him and announced God's rejection of him. Saul admitted his sin and asked for pardon. Sadly, his repentance did not reflect remorse, but alarmed at God's rejection of him. Saul pressed his plea for mercy, hoping God might change his mind. But Samuel declared God would not change his mind and will rip the kingdom away from the lineage of Saul. The prophet said, "The strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that should repent." And you'll find that over in 1 Samuel 15 and 29. Also, number four, God repented of the evil that he intended to do to Nineveh. And you'll find that over in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. When the Ninevites repented of their violent, cruelty and sin, even though it did not last, it lasted at least. It showed their susceptibility and the prophetic word of God. Their willingness to forsake their ways, evil ways, allowed God to extend his mercy and grace to them. He did this not only for the sake of Nineveh, but also for his own people would see his consistency in forgiving the sins of any repentant person, whether sinner or saint. Although judgment for sin is sure, hope for salvation is just as sure. God will always follow through. Now, let's take a look further. Let's look at the faithful character of God. Now, Jonah wanted God to hurl down fire and brimstone down on Nineveh for the unspeakable atrocity that they have committed. The last thing he wanted was for them to repent because he knew God's merciful character. The reluctant prophet finally arrived in the city for the 3 days roar out a warning of God's imminent judgment. Then he climbed a hill and saturated himself at the best vantage point to point to see what would happen. He waited all day and all night, and nothing happened. As soon as Nineveh repented, the mercy, grace, and kindness of God would not let him destroy that place. On the surface, it seemed as though Jonah had accused God of inconsistency. But underneath the prophet being mad was the reluctant testimony to the immutability of God's character. Even though Jonah was not thinking straight, he did not doubt these characteristics. Jonah, not God, was the one that was inconsistent. Now let's even look at Peter. Peter's denial of Christ revealed that the mercy and faithfulness of God. 2 times the servant identified Peter as the one of Christ's disciple, and he swore that he was not. And then finally of the high priest servant, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had severed, accused, "I know you're one of Jesus' disciples. I saw you in the garden." And Peter shouted, "For the last time, I'm telling you I don't even know the man." Then the rooster crowed, pierced the air, and from a distance the Lord turned and looked at Peter. That one sorrowful look plunged a dagger of grief into Peter's soul, and he went out and wept bitterly. Now Peter's repentance opened up a channel through which God could pour his mercy. After Jesus' resurrection, the angel told the women, "Go your way, tell his disciple and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." And the Lord's characteristic of forgiveness and his permanent calling of Peter would not let him omit the repentant disciple from his invitation. Now, character is a composite of a person's characteristic, the attribute, the traits, the abilities that distinguish him from any other person. These characteristics are not momentarily of a personality, but comprised of the basic building blocks of a person's nature. Thus, for the purpose of this lesson, nature is the linen fabric of an individual, and the character is the dynamics that manifest that nature. Now, we should note that a person can step outside of his character and act uncharacteristically, but God cannot do it. We can never be like God in this regard, for some of his attributes are incommutable, that is, they cannot be communicated to the human being. God's incommutable attributes are omnipresent, omniscient, sovereignty, immutability. These are those incomputable attributes of him. Some of his commutable attributes are love, we can love, faithfulness, and holiness. Therefore, in some way we can be like God, and in other ways we cannot. God cannot be but immutable, and our human state consistently fluctuates. God can be nothing but faithful, although we can acquire the traits to a certain extent, sometimes we are not. All of God's attributes and characteristics are consistent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, let's look a little further, and let's take a look at God is always and will always keep his covenant. Note the word faithful, the faithful God which keeps his covenant. We found that over in Deuteronomy 7 and 9, our focus scripture. The Lord said, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that gone out of my lips." You'll find that in Psalms 89 and verse 34. When God's covenant with us, we can depend on him, for he is constant in his dealing. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And you'll find that over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 20. God's covenant different radically from the covenant of mankind. Man can shake hands to a closed business deal. They can sign a contract legally binding them to take his provision. And in the courtroom, they can also swear by one hand on the Bible and the other one raised to God. In church, before God and 100 witnesses, they can pledge to share their life with the spouse until death separates them. But all of these temporal covenants can and have been broken by mankind. Unlike humankind, God keeps his promises. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. He will do what he has said he will do. And there is no greater guarantee than this, for it is backed by his word. The contract, the covenant of man, often sometime expired after a specific time. For an example, we can find and share properties that may indicate that the ownership expires within 25 years, although that the provision is often not advertised. Another example is the law of eminent domain, in which the government have given itself permission to confiscate private real estate or personal property and use it for a specific purpose. The Lord's covenant comes with no expiration date. Even when others are not faithful to the covenant, after the Israelites enter Canaan, some of the tribes, such as Judah and Simeon, aggressively took over the territories of their inheritance and either destroyed or drove out their inhabitants. Most of the other tribes, however, such as Manasseh, Zebulun, and Asher, and Naphtali, and Daniel failed to drive out the inhabitants from the land, and Joshua had allotted it to them, and they did not destroy the existing altars. Now, Israel's close proximity to the Ammonites led them to a full alliance with them. Still, the angel of the Lord appeared to them and reminded them, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you out unto the land which I swear unto your father, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. The Israelites, they wept with remorse over their faithlessness and their sacrifice to the Lord in the place that they called Bochim, the weeper. As long as Joshua and the elders of Israel lived, the people served God. Before Joshua died, he spoke soberly to them about the critical choice that they must make, that they all vow, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. However, after that generation were gathered unto their father, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. O child of God, let us pass this work on to the next generation. God said he keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. If a generation is 30 years, and that would be 30,000 years, obviously, Moses did not mean that God's covenant promise had an expiration date. He used the phrase 1,000 generation to indicate the inimitable amount of time. This illustrates the fact that in the 21st century, God still honors the ancient covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because the Lord loved you and because he will keep his oath, which he has sworn unto your father, have the Lord brought you out with his mighty hand. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandment to 1,000 generations. Now, great is thy faithfulness, one hymn that actually says. It said, great is thy faithfulness, O my God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou hast changed not. Thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy I see. All I have needed, thy hands provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We must recognize, children of God, that God is faithful. Even in Lamentation 3, verses 22 through verse 23, the word said, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Our King is eternal, immortal, invisible. Because God is immutable and eternal, his purpose cannot be frustrated. He is ever living one, and what he has promised, he can and will accomplish. The covenant he made with the Jews is not the only everlasting covenant. God made a new covenant, which includes the church and all those who will answer his call to the covenant. The term of the old covenant includes an eternal inheritance. The term of the new covenant includes an eternal inheritance as well. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant and the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. You'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 9 and 15. The children of thy servant shall continue, and their seeds shall be established before thee. Psalms 102, verse 28. Because God is eternal, he has the power to grant eternal life to his children. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. God's covenant shall abide. His children shall abide. His church shall abide. The stability and welfare of the church are guaranteed by the eternality and the immutability of the Lord our God. I come to tell you, child of God, that the great is the faithfulness of our God. It is on God to perform it. God is going to fulfill the covenant that he made with his children. We must be faithful. We must be holy, even as he is holy, and continue to press forward to live our life to the fullest, to the glory of our Father, by being faithful unto him. And I guarantee you, child of God, by the power that is invested in me, that God will be faithful to you. Trust him as never before. Lean upon his word. Take that word, even when you're standing in the face in the storm. You stand on the word of the Lord and keep your eyes on Jesus and watch God perform it on your behalf, because we're trusting the great one, the Abba Father. Amen. Abba will do it. Our Father will do it. He will open the door. He will make a way. He will touch and heal your body. He still yet have healing in his wing. Amen. He still can say, send the word and I will heal them. Be as the children of God. We got to wrap our faith around the word of the Lord as never before and watch him do it on our behalf. Child of God, I pray that you've been blessed on today. I'm just excited about the immutability of our God. I tell you, he cannot lie. Amen. He will not change. He will be consistent. He will come through just as the word of the Lord has said and what he has promised us to do. And in my closing on today, I want you to remember that you are an heir of the promise. And every day you need to look yourself in the mirror and begin to say unequivocally, I am a heir of the promise, and I am a joint heir of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And stand on the word of the Lord and release God in your circumstances, your home, over your children. The Bible said it is nigh thee, even in your mouth. All you need to do is just begin to release God by releasing them out of your mouth and speak the word over your family, over your finance, over your body, over what you believe in God that he's able to do, setting it in the atmosphere, and God himself, who is immutable, will perform it as we put him back in remembrance of his word. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. Great is thy faithfulness unto your people, Lord. Father, we thank you for this lesson and this time and session on today. I pray it stir your people in their faith, amen, as never before, that they begin to release you in their circumstances and situation and release their faith as never before, because you said in your word, the just shall live by their faith, God. As never before, we begin to see the manifestation of your glory through your word, as you will manifest and bring a demonstration of your spirit among your people, and as you abide and dwell in and sup among us, God. We thank you because of your faithfulness. Now, Father, you said if we acknowledge you, you would direct our path. And every day we will acknowledge you, even throughout the day, even like David, amen, did and prayed unto you and cried out to you, and even Daniel, the patriarch of old. Father, we will call upon the name of the Lord and put our faith and confidence in you. And now, Father, we ask that you continue to do it, and we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, child of God, I pray that you have been blessed on today. I pray that you encourage somebody to listen on every Tuesday at 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 4 o'clock. It will be the Central Time, and I believe it will be 5 o'clock. It will be the Eastern Standard Time, that you will join me here at home, Helen Arm Ministry of Empowerment. Amen. That you will meet us here. You can go to our website or even to the blog. Amen. Talk show and Google in my name, and you can listen to some archived shows that all the way back to 2007, and you will be greatly, greatly, greatly blessed. Amen. And as I close on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask. And it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. Child of God, I pray that you're blessed. And I pray that you, again, let someone know. Go to my website. Shoot me out an email. Hit me up on Facebook. Let me know if it's been a blessing to you on today. Until we meet again, may God richly, richly bless you, is my prayer.